How's everyone? I'm so glad to be back. Okay, so I wonder how many of you miss me. I surely miss all of you. Now, we are in a series called The Gospel Explained. Say with me, explain. All right, tell your neighbor left, right. It's Gospel Explained. Okay, now we are going through a series, a message series from the book of Romans. All right, now where is the book of Romans? It's in the New Testament, okay, and it's the sixth book, okay, of the New Testament. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. All right, now when we first started this series, I encourage all of you to read the book of Romans. I hope you are doing, all right? You are reading the book of Romans, okay, especially this season, okay, of the year, right? Now, the author is none other than Apostle Paul, written with the heartbeat. The heartbeat is to explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So, when you read that, then you have this in your mind, what is Paul trying to explain, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, with that, he's saying he has the power to save, okay, everyone who believes. So, just a quick recap. Okay, I divided the book of Romans into five blocks. So we are doing this first block. Okay, first block is chapter 1 to chapter 4. Okay, which is talking about gospel review. You know, in chapter 1, we talk about unashamed because Paul said, I am unashamed, okay, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying he's indebted, okay, of everyone who have yet to hear, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Part 2, we talk about unrighteousness. Also talk about, you remember about good and bad, okay, which good and bad, and about the coming of the wrath, okay, of God, all right? Then you come to chapter 3, unrepentant, because when we talk about that, it's talking about the non-Jews. But again, chapter 2, okay, Paul is talking about the Jews. We can say everybody is no good, but what about you? All right, that's where, okay, Paul, okay, wants to tackle that the gospel is for everyone, okay, now. Then AJ comes in, okay, talk about uncircumcision, okay. It's not just about the physical circumcision, but it's also the circumcision of our heart, all right. Now, last week we hear from Edwin on righteousness. You know, I just like the example that he gave, okay. What if, yeah, he was saying, what if the whole north, south, okay, plus highway, okay, is there's camera all the way. I wonder how many of those, okay, summon that we'll collect, okay, when we go to Kuala Lumpur or we drive down to, okay, JB, all right? So, in other words, Bible talks about in Romans 3:10, okay? Romans 3:10 says that no one is righteous, not even one, all right? That's where we need, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, today I'm going to talk about Romans 4 and going to talk about God's promise. Say with me, promise. Okay, all right. Tell your neighbor, like, what have you promised me? Okay, now when you think about promise, the goal of this part 4 is we can fully trust God to fulfill whatever He promised in His Word. Okay, that's the goal. Okay, when we think about God's promise. Now, what is promise to you? Promise is like a declaration or assurance that you will do something and it will happen. All right, now, when you think about promise, sometimes in our mind is promise is meant to be broken. True? Sometimes you make a promise and you wonder whether you're going to fulfill that promise or not. And how many broken promises, okay, that whether you have received or you have broken. Okay, but let me tell you that we can trust God, okay, of His promises. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, okay, that says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Okay, I want you all to respond. When you see the word yes, you respond yes. When you see the word amen, you say amen. Let me say again. For all the promises of God in Him are? Yes. And in Him? Yes. To the glory of God through us. That's why sometimes when we pray, why we at the end of the prayer, you say in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, because we're going to believe, okay, that God is going to answer, okay, the prayer that you have just prayed. Now, as I begin, I'm curious, okay, curious to find out, okay, that is, do you know of anyone in your lifetime that has given birth at her old age? Anyone? Okay, question, who is the oldest woman giving birth with a natural pregnancy? So, in other words, have you known anyone give birth at the age of 50? 60? Anyone? Have you heard about your grandmother just delivered baby. Yes? Anyone? One. God, huh? Okay, Samuel God. Okay, I want to find out. Okay, now anyway. So I was so curious about that. I searched. Okay, I don't know. So I Google. And Google, I found out that they are top 10. You know, they are top 10. And the first one is age 67. Okay, giving birth at age of 67 in 2019. All right. Now this is in China. The second one was age 61. Okay, when the mother gave birth. All right, and this is from Italy. And the third one is 59 years old, okay, when she given birth. Now, when I think about this, you don't know, when you Google, right, sometimes you wonder whether true or not. Do you think it's true? Probably, okay, probably it's true. Now, when you think about it, even in our Asian setting, when you think about giving birth at after age 40 is already like something like a no-no, right? Like that. Don't have baby after 40 years old, all right? But Mio did. Mio gave birth to Deborah at just after 40 years old. All right, now. let's give hope, okay? Give hope to all the rest. Okay, now. When you think about that, to conceive a baby naturally after 60s and beyond is just unthinkable. True? So imagine, okay, I was just saying that imagine your grandmother. So now is Samuel got one case. Okay, now, of that age, okay, giving birth at age 70 or 80, it's just unthinkable. But let me tell you, there is a true story in the Bible. And it's the story of Abraham and Sarah. All right? Now, how old was Abraham and Sarah when they gave birth to Isaac? Okay, Abraham was already 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. So you can read this story of the oldest woman in history, okay, and also the oldest father, all right? And it's a historical fact. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 17 and also 22. Actually, you can start reading from Genesis chapter 12, okay, about the life of Abraham and Sarah. Okay, the story of an old man and old woman, childless for decades. And God has a promise for them that someday they will have a baby. All right, so those who have been praying for a baby, okay, for the past 5-10 years, it's possible, all right. So I don't know any other couple here, you are married and still do not have a child, you tell to your husband, it's possible, okay. All right, now, next. So God promised that Abraham will be a father of many nations, and Sarah, a mother of nations, okay? But at that time when the promise was given, they did not even have a child. Now, do you know that Abraham, and that time his name was Abram, and then Sarai, all right? And the way they respond when the promise was given, do you know how they respond when God told them that you're going to have a child? At that age, probably at the age of 86, God keep on reminding them. Okay, before age 99, because when they give birth was 90 and 100, right? It's just unthinkable. So when the promise was given to Abraham and Abraham and Sarai, how did they respond? Anybody know? They laugh. Can you imagine? Okay, somebody could come to tell you and you are age 86 and you're going to have a child. I don't know, man. You better... whether this is true or not right now. So that was what happened to Abraham and Sarah. Okay, not only Sarah laughed, Abraham also laughed, okay, because of that, whether it's going to happen or not. Well, friends, I don't know what you're facing, what kind of crisis you have in your lives, something that you think is unreachable, unthinkable, unimaginable, the situation that you are in. Well, you can follow the footsteps of Abraham and Sarah. You can laugh over it. Yes, you can just laugh over it, okay? Now, you never know what will happen, all right? Okay, probably will release, okay, the tension that is in you. Okay, so throughout Romans chapter 4, Paul repeatedly and said to Abraham, okay, that he was saved by faith and the promise that was given. Okay, so this is a continual from the Romans chapter 3 about righteousness. So let's read Romans 4. Okay, 17. Now, okay, this is a passage that Abraham fell face down. Whoa, his face fell down. Okay, now he laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90?" Ooh. Okay, now Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Okay, Genesis 18. So you can read the whole Genesis 12 all the way to Genesis 22. All right, now. So what is the worst ever crisis in your entire life? I don't know. Sometimes the best thing to do is just to laugh. Because, you know, it's just impossible, all right? Just impossible. My elder brother, one of the time was, he thinking about the accounting job that he has. But my brother knew that that company already closed, all right? That was it already no longer exists. But the wife did not know that. So the wife prayed that the husband will have this job. My elder brother was thinking, oh no, this job not even existed anymore. But the following week, the job came back. So it's just interesting, right? Okay, now. Romans 4, verse 1 to verse 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discover in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What the scriptures say? Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we go through Romans 4. Father, I ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, come teach us, okay, bring understanding, okay, to us as we think about, okay, what it means, God's promise, okay, to each and every one of us as we look at the life of Abraham and Sarah. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, amen. All right. So last week when we hear the message, if it's of works, then what does that mean? Okay, so if it's work, then when we go to heaven, we will be boasting all the way, all right, now. But here it's about, Paul is saying that if Abraham was justified by faith, then we have all those to boast about. But it's not like this, all right? So he said that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, so what we're going to do today is that, okay, I'm going to explore, okay, how does God's promise fulfill in the life of Abraham and Sarah? Okay, that was the first part. Then the second part, what does it mean for us, okay, today? All right, now. So the promise and faith led to the birth, okay, of Abraham and Sarah's son, his first son, Isaac. Okay, are y'all still with me? All right, now, let's move on. Now, let's jump to verse 13, okay? Now, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and promise is worthless. Now, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now, it is verse 13 to 17, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, right? In these few verses, what does that mean? It means that God's promise to Abraham is based on the principle of faith. Okay? Not law, not works. Because we have learned from last Sunday, if it's of law, we can never. Okay, if it's works, then we boast all the time. Alright, so the promise is based on the principle of faith and the righteousness of God. Alright, so we're going to look at the two parts that we're going to look at. Oh, I didn't finish reading. Alright, now. Verse 16, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith, the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives lives to the dead and calls into being things that were not. All right, so continue reading that later on in verse 18. So this now this we have just read that God's promise to Abraham is based on principle of faith, not law, not works. Okay, now. So I'm going to look at these two, verse 18 to 21. Okay, talking about how God's promise fulfilled in Abraham, and verse 22, 25, how it affects us today. All right, now. Okay, now let's move on. Verse 18 to 22. Verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Now, as we read the whole passage of Romans 4, you see the word belief, you see the word faith, and you see righteousness. These three key words will keep on repeating, okay, reoccur by itself. All right, now, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Okay, now. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, and being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. All right. Now I'm going to unpack this. You're wondering, oh, how am I going to understand this right now? So number one, how does God's promise fulfill in Abraham? All right now, number one, when Abraham see the promise of God, all right, Abraham believed God can do anything. Do you believe God can do anything? Yes, sometimes the mind like, can or cannot, can or cannot. Now, this is based on verse 18 that we have just read just now. Because Paul is writing that against all hope, Abraham hope, belief. So that means Paul has come to a place, right? He has lost all hope. You know, sometimes for us, we first thing that we try to do is, when we face certain things, is we try to do it by our own strength. Okay, try to solve the problem. Okay, try to do this and that in order to solve the issue. Sometimes we come to a place, it cannot be done. You know that it cannot be done. And in our natural mind is that, since I try everything, it cannot be done. Maybe God also cannot. But it wasn't like that. All right, so Paul is saying, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So he became the father of many nations. Now, at that point, Abraham is not the father of many nations yet, all right? Because he not even have a son yet. So when you think about that, whenever we face any situation, okay, we can actually have thousands of excuses for not that to happen. Because if you were to think Abraham and Sarah, or Sarai, the conversation they might have as husband and wife, I'm so old, you also so old. So just now we read, we have no pleasure anymore at the age of 80, 90, okay, 100 years old, all right? How can this ever happen? No one in their history has ever has a child, okay, of that age, okay? And then when you think about all your friends that you normally mix with or go out with, they'll be thinking that you're crazy. 100 years old, 90 years old, and you're talking about having a baby. It's just crazy. Cannot, all right? Now, Abraham, if you were to read that, Abraham at that point, he also tried to like, maybe my servant, give it away to my servant Eliezer. Okay, Sarah also like, want to short-circuit what God has promised, okay, by having Abraham, okay, for Hagar. So sometimes when we think of all the issues and tension that we have, sometimes it doesn't make sense, okay, what God is going to do in our life. We can be so limited with that. But hearing the story of Abraham and Sarah, thank God, okay, Abraham allowed God, okay, in the equation. So the only hope, when we read this, the only hope that Abraham would have is just to believe God. There's nothing that he can do anymore. 90 years old, 100 years old, to be a father of many, okay, nation. All right. Now, those days when I first entered ministry, that was back in 1999, all right, holding a position of manager and all those, thinking about going full-time is like, wow, it's like I go to my boss and ask for self-volunteer resignation, all right, because during the time it's like people are just waiting for VR, okay, which they're able to get their compensation, all right? For me, I just go in and tell my boss that it's like a surrender, okay? No need all this compensation, all right? Now, when I think about those days, wanting to give up job, it's like I'm going to have my pay cut. I have my housing loan. I have my car loan. What else? What you want? So many things, okay, to think about. Oh, that was a time that God spoke, okay, in that sense now when you read the word. When you think, try to reason as a human. Okay, the Bible tells us what? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With that reading that verse, wow, I have a faith leap, okay, to submit the resignation. Okay, my immediate boss during that time was just don't know what to do because my downline going to go for to Bible school, okay? Don't know what to offer. God has better offer for him, okay, than I'm going to offer him for another position, all right? It's just, sometimes you come to that position, well, what are you going to do next? You just have to believe God, that God can do everything. So faith is believing God's promise and keep believing, because faith is hope against all hope. Amen? Number two, Abraham believed circumstances aren't everything. Now, what does that mean? Okay, let's look at verse 19 again. Okay, verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was dead. Now, when God first called Abraham, he was 75. Okay, how old was Abraham when God promised him that he'd be father of nations? He was probably 86. What's the meaning of Abraham? Abraham is exalted father. So Abraham has workers. So you can imagine for Abraham, everyone that comes and meet him in the office or come to his presence, they will be addressing him, good morning, Abraham. So when you say good morning, Abraham, means good morning, exalted father. That was his name. All right, now, talking about Abraham believes circumstances aren't everything. All right, now, so when you think about how old was Abraham when Paul said this, that he was 100 years old and the wife is 90 years old and the womb is already dead. Now, God appeared to Abraham multiple times, not just two times. If you were to search the Bible, at least five times in Genesis 12, 13, 15, 17, and 21. It's like as though God is telling Abraham, keep on telling him until he believes. How many of us, when our parents tell us when we are young, you know, when we choose, don't know true or not, okay, go to New Zealand, don't know true or not. We told Deborah, I say, when you finish your UPSR, we will go to Disneyland. Yeah, but it did not happen because there's no UPSR. UPSR in her year cancer. Then after that, yeah, you say you finish UPSR, we go to Disneyland, all right? So UPSR in her year was cancer, no more UPSR from that year onwards. And then after that, we went into pandemic, all right? So maybe she's still waiting whether she will go to Disneyland. Okay, it will come, all right now. So in other words, when you think all the circumstances they're going through in life, are you able to, willing to believe that God, even with all the outward circumstances that you are fighting for, okay, and will you still believe God? All right, so will you do that? Now, this part of my story, when I enter USM, USM is University Science Malaysia, for those who do not know, okay, university nearby here, about 2 kilometers away. When I gotten my result of my STPM, I wonder whether I can get into USM or not, all right? So I just have to submit to the Lord. Lord, I don't think this can get through, all right? Now, I was so ready together with my sister, all right? We took a bus from Teluk Intan to Ipoh just to register, okay, to take STPM again, you know? That means to take A-level again, so to get a better result for Unity Science Malaysia, all right, now. So, when I went to Ipoh, I short of one document. And I came back so sad because I couldn't register for to retake, okay, STPM. Now, what happened was, when I came back that evening at about, I think about 5 p.m. plus 6 p.m., okay, about sunset, came back, locked the door. The moment I locked the door, a motorbike came. Beep, beep. And it was the postman. When's the last time you meet a postman? Beep, beep. And he gave me a telegram. And now many of you were, what is telegram? Is it the app? No, no. It's just a piece of paper where it's sealed, where you tear and then you read the message, all right? It's also a short message. So the short message is, sila laporkan diri secepat mungkin ke Unity Science Malaysia. So he said, report immediately, all right? Okay, so give a lot of your hand, all right, now. At that moment, right, I already hear all my friends already enter university, and then I was like, oh no, that's the end, man, that's the end, all right, now. All of you got to know, during my time, there's about 5 or 6 in university, that's all. You don't get it means you don't get it, all right, so it was just with all the circumstances, you just need to believe God for that right now. So for Abraham, to change name to Abraham is an act of faith, because when you think about it, it's nothing possible for him. But he took that, he accepted the fact that he's going to be the father of many nations. So thinking about that, with all these circumstances that he's in, sometimes you think about who you're going to trust, true or not, right now. So if he were to turn his wife, God called me to be a father of many nations. Probably the wife would say, you must be joking. And he think about going back to his father, because when they came out and go to Haran, he was together with his father. But at that point, the father is already dead. So no one to actually look up to. So friends, it's where when you come to a place that no one you could trust, you can only trust God's word and his promise. Amen? All right? Now, so the question I said, Abraham believed circumstances aren't everything. All right? Whatever you face, you come to a point, you just have to trust, okay, God's word and his promise. Third one, Abraham believed challenges are nothing. Friends, I don't know what challenges you have in life. Let's look at verse 20. Paul wrote about Abraham, that is, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, when you think about if God can do anything, and circumstances aren't everything. So when you think of challenges that you have, and you think about God, it's nothing. Cry not, because God can do everything. Right? Instead of thinking to do every other thing by your own hands, because he was thinking about giving to Eliezer, thinking about Sarah was saying, okay, why not? You're going to sleep with Hagar and all those. Now, Abraham has his own struggle as a human. All of us have our own struggle. We have doubt, all right? But when you think about challenges that you have, and when you surrender to God, it is nothing, all right? Now, in other words, faith, believing, is that facing the impossible, all right? Now, I really like the verse. Okay, so it's in verse 19. Okay, I really like the verse that he faced the fact. When you go through circumstances in life, when you go challenges in life, are we able to face the fact? It's a big question now, because when we think about faith, but the fact is, let's say we are sick. The fact is we are sick. The fact is we lost our job. The fact is we lost the family members. Okay, the fact is we lost the house. So, are we able to face the fact as just as Abraham did? All right. So without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body is as good as dead, cannot function in that sense anymore to bear. Okay, it's just too old. It's beyond human level. End of discussion. Case closed. So because the last visitation to Abraham, he was already 99 years old. Because in that verse, in that part, right, the Lord that appealed to him, or the angel that appealed to him, say, by this time next year you shall have. This is the ultimate already. Wow, are you able, okay, to believe? So Abraham and Sarah has come to a place that is beyond human level. It's only through God, because you can consider Abraham being important. All right, Sarah has passed menopause for 45 years, if you were to calculate that. All right, unless God did a double miracle, that otherwise no baby will be born. All right, so in every crisis, my friend, every crisis, we face the fact. When you face the fact, you also believe in God's promise that God will turn that around. Amen. All right, now we can run and hide, but it won't do you any good. But faith is where you stand. Okay, don't avoid the fact. Face the fact, but believe God can do far more than you could imagine. Amen. All right, that's where we believe. With man is impossible. With man is impossible, but with God it is possible. Okay, the last one. Abraham believed and is fully persuaded. Now, each time when you look at God's promise, or when you look at the word of God, are you fully persuaded? So it has come to the climax of Abraham's life, and Abraham is fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So just now I said that, the last visitation, he was 99. All right, so has Isaac born yet? Not yet. All right, now, has he become a father of many nations? Not yet. But he has taken the faith that accepts the fact that God is changing his name from Abraham to Abraham. For his daughter father become the father of many nations. All right, at that point, to straight what it means by fully persuaded, at that point, his body is good as dead. He cannot produce anymore. That's what it means, dead. All right, now. So likewise, okay, for Sarah. And it's also the point that means utterly beyond the stage of possibilities. Beyond. There's no way, okay, human could do that. All right, now. So this is where Abraham may come to a place, okay, God, I'm fully persuaded, okay, that you are going to make this happen. It's not me, but you. So faith is acting even when you don't see it. Okay, that is not even happening yet. So faith is seeing the promise, but at the same time, you're seeing the problem, and yet you choose to believe what God is going to do in your life. Right, so I do not know, okay, whatever challenges you have, circumstances you have, how much is God stretching your faith or stretching my faith? All right, now, so Abraham believed, okay, God can do everything, circumstances aren't everything, all right, what else, okay, and challenges, okay, are nothing, okay, because he is fully persuaded. All right, again, in our reality, are we able, okay, to, okay, respond, okay, to that? Sometimes talk is easy, right, until you face, okay, the reality of it. So the story of Abraham's faith is not just for us, but it's simply, okay, it's also simply for us. Okay, so second part, okay, is that how does Abraham's faith apply to us today? Now, look at this the balance of the verses. It says that this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Because each time when you read about Abraham, you always state that, oh, it was credited to him as righteousness. The word is, it was credited to him, was written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. So it goes like this. One is that, I already penned down. One is that the way of salvation and the basis of salvation. Now, how does it go? Huh? One, Abraham showed us how he believed. Was he perfect? No. He also failed God big time. The journey that he took, at the end of the day, he was fully persuaded. Okay, just now when we read in verse 3, it says that, okay, what does the scripture says? Remember, just now in verse 3, what does the scripture say? The scripture say, Abraham believed, and then it was credited to him righteousness. So Paul show us the life of Abraham, that Abraham, when go through all those, at the end of the day, he chose to believe. All of us went through all challenges and all those. All right, now, at the end of it, do you believe? So the word that was used just now, credited. Credited means it's an accounting firm. Dixon. So when you do something, all right, and you are paid, so it's credited. When you pay your income tax, you go assess, then income tax will have your balance credited into your account. All right? So here is where it doesn't bow by the works that you do, because Abraham did whatever that he's human that he could do, but that's not counted, because when you do by works and law, it doesn't work. It's until the point Abraham say, I believe. And then when he come to that place fully persuaded, God credited unto him righteousness. Right, so it's a way of salvation. That means, all right, our salvation It's not by our works. It's not by our doing, but it's by God's righteousness. All right? If you go back to the story of Edwin, that is the whole highway. There's no way. All right? Just one time that I was in Melbourne, all right, now, I was driving. The speed limit is so low, you know, it's like 80 kilometers. It's just a little bit of acceleration you exceed. And then someone will just come. It's just crazy, all right? So think twice if you want to drive in Melbourne, okay? Now, so all my friends who live in Melbourne, they say, Pastor Shelton, we don't want to drive in Melbourne City, okay? So, you know, we will take a train and meet you, okay? Now, the other one, the basis. Okay, the basis of salvation, Paul state very well, okay, our basic salvation is by the virgin birth, death, and resurrection. If we'll go back to that verse, all right, so it says here that for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was delivered over the death of our sin and was raised to life for our justification. So in other words, all right, the basis of salvation is not by our works, but the basis is ultimately on the virgin birth. Why virgin birth? Because that will determine, okay, our salvation, okay, that the virgin birth is not human work, all right? So it's where Jesus is fully God, fully man, okay? If it's just birth, then he's fully man. If fully man, he will be just like you and I. He cannot save us, all right? So he's fully God, fully man, and he bring that, okay, to the cross. He died, all right? And he resurrected, so which where he on the third day he rose, okay, again, all right, amen. So that is the promise, that man do not earn it, man do not deserve it, but it's given, it's credited when you choose to believe in Christ Jesus, who died for our sin, buried, third day he rose again, he is resurrected. That's a promise. A good amen. That's Romans chapter 4. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you, Deborah. Wonderful God. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we go through Romans chapter 4, as we even look at God's promise and looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah. How the journey of Abraham and Sarah, you know, it's a long story, but in this nutshell, okay, that we have just learn about. Father God, I pray that all of us, okay, will come to a place, whatever circumstances we are in, whatever challenges that we are in, Father, that we will cling on, okay, to your promise, to the word of God, okay, that is stated, Lord, in your word, Father, that help us to choose to believe, just like Abraham. And when Abraham chose to believe, it was credited to him, okay, as righteousness. Father, I pray for all of us and for those who yet to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, having to know who God is and who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, I pray that each and every one of you, okay, will know and also receive Jesus as your Lord, personal Lord and Savior. Okay, God's salvation plan and his beautiful plan and promise to save each and every one of us from hell or from the wrath of God. Jesus paid the price, okay, of salvation for each and every one of us. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands. Father, even as we look at challenges that we have, Father, help us, Lord, okay, to cling on to your word. Let your word be the anchor of our life. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. All right, let's give Jesus a big hand.